All right. On behalf of the Johnson County School Board, I'd like to welcome everyone to the JCSD 1 March Board Meeting. The board thanks everyone here in attendance for taking time out of your busy schedule, either in your in person or via streaming or listening on 307. And we all have busy lives, so I appreciate you taking the time to be here. We have a full house tonight, so again, you all know about the cell phones. Again, if we need to have conversations with each other, I'd ask you to step outside so people can hear. And so at this time, will you all please stand? Join with me in saying the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kind of got spoiled the last 2 months having somebody sing it. I'd like to say right up front, Candace and Gio Montricelli knocked it out of the bar part during the state basketball. They were absolutely awesome singing the national anthem. And that's not easy to do, to get in front of all those people and sing. So, we appreciate that. Roll call. We have everyone here in person. That's great. Public comment at this time. Again, as you know, this is our time to listen. We do not comment during your public comment time. We ask you to keep your comments to roughly 5 minutes, please. And the first one we have is Ms. Warren.
Yes, ma'am. Do I have like a timer?
We'll go like this.
Oh, okay.
When you're
I won't be that long, I promise.
Okay.
All right. Wednesday night at the board work session, it was brought up that our elementary schools had banners promoting the LGBTQ. Our schools have rainbows, right? So, tonight, I'll talk to you about rainbows. Rainbows can be seen in elementary schools across America. They are bright, they are colorful, they help children learn colors, and they brighten up classrooms and hallways. Questioning rainbows in schools is like questioning cowboy hats at a rodeo. Not everyone is going to wear a cowboy hat to a rodeo, but everyone should feel secure in wearing a hat if they so choose to. People running rodeos have bigger things to worry about besides the attire of participants or fans. Just like we, the teachers, have a lot bigger concerns than justifying rainbows in our elementary buildings. This really isn't about rainbows, though. It's a thinly veiled attack against the LGBTQ population, and that's rather concerning. The Trevor Project reports the last couple of statistics that the LGBTQ youth are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. This group has reported 45% of them last year seriously contemplated a suicide attempt. This population is not prone to suicide because of their sexual orientation. Rather, it's because of how they are mistreated and stigmatized by society. Case in point, a board member going after a non-existent banner. What message does that send to our youth who are gay or who are questioning? What message does that send to our staff who are in that same boat? What message does that send to our district employees about the priorities of our district? Thank you.
Ms. Bassett, and you are here on behalf of
the senior rodeo kids.
Okay, thank you.
I've never been nervous to talk to you before, but I'm reading her words.
There's no reason to be nervous.
So.
We're here to listen to you.
So Shakrina says, "Dear Johnson County School Board, I'm Karina Micey. When you hear this, I'll be on my way to Torrington for the State FFA Vet Science Conference. Thanks for reading this, Mom. I'm writing in support of the 4 seniors who high school rodeo and want their banners hung at Buffalo High School. I'm one of them. While I've rodeoed since before I was in kindergarten, this is my first semester high school rodeoing. I'm excited to represent Buffalo High School in the goat tying. You heard that right. I'm excited to represent Buffalo High School. According to Mr. Mater, the reason rodeo kids can't have a banner is that they're not affiliated with the Wyoming High School Athletic Association. Honestly, we could care less whether or not the Wyoming High School Rodeo Association is a part of the Wyoming High School Athletic Association. We don't represent either one. We represent Buffalo High School. Will we wear a black and gold uniform with a big bison on it to compete? No. But we know that any action and decision we make, good or bad, will be seen as the action or decision of Buffalo High School students. Interestingly, I've checked, and I cannot find anywhere that says the Special Olympics is a member of the Wyoming High School Athletic Association either. However, they have a banner at the high school, as they should, but why can't we? From the time we're little, we're taught segregation is a bad thing, but technically, isn't that what's happening here? Like any other sport, rodeo requires practice, skill, determination, and teamwork. The difference, in my case, as a goat tire, is my teammate is a 1,000-pound mare named Breezy. You don't know the level of faith placed in a teammate until you literally step off that teammate as she's running at an out-of-control speed towards a bleeding, jumping, running goat. And then having the faith she'll take care of herself while I flank and tie that now kicking squirmy goat. Keep in mind this all happens from when I ride into the arena until I throw my hands in the air in roughly 8 seconds. Unlike a lot of sports, rodeo kids don't have a set practice time where we all get together. It's our own responsibility to get it done and know that if we don't practice, we're not prepared. I can't expect my teammate to do her job if I can't do mine. Sometimes that means we exercise horses in the dark, and our teammates' needs always come before our own. Instead of coaches, we have mentors. Those people we seek out are oftentimes they find us to tell us what we're doing right and how to fix what we're doing wrong. My goat tying mentor lives in Buffalo, South Dakota. She's a 2-time college national finals goat tying champion for the University of Wyoming. I have several that live here as well. Dr. Rice, Megan Wells, Mandy Mater, Josh Johnson, and Johnson County School Board member Dave Bellis, just to name a few. So back to the banners. Hanging a banner in the high school doesn't seem like it should be a big deal. It's our school, too. We're all involved in other BHS activities. We're not asking for a handout. We don't need any money. We don't need a bus. We don't need a gym space. We're not asking for anything other than to be recognized as athletes who represent Buffalo High School. Sincerely, Karina Micey.
Thank you. Any more? Did I miss anybody on the phone? No. Okay. We are at the library process. Leanne Schimmel. Leanne, we appreciate you being here tonight.
She's excited to be here. So I'd like to direct your attention over here. Okay, so, oh gosh, sorry. I don't know what I did. Heidi, I got out of your thing.
What am I?
Sorry.
Is this thing?
Okay, mine's still up. There you go. Okay, so, I am Leanne Schimmel, for those of you who don't know, and I am the certified librarian for the district. And so I travel around to all the schools. I try to hit one building probably once a week. I travel to KC one day a week, try to get there on Thursdays. Sometimes that doesn't work. We have the book fair out there this week. So if you are in KC and you're listening, get to the book fair this week. We start on Thursday night. I am in charge of all the libraries, purchasing, maintaining our library systems, and I'm going to kind of show you what we have going on and what we have available to students through the libraries tonight. Okay, so when I'm going to kind of go through Cloud Peak, and I'm doing that because I'm going to use my daughter Adeline's login, and she's a third grader, and so Krista kind of reprimanded me. She was like, you probably shouldn't have Adeline's login, but I do. And so I'm getting it first so you can see what it's going to look like from a student's perspective and not an adult's perspective, because my login is going to show you a whole different ballgame of books and stuff. And so I'm going to show you from her perspective and how to get there, okay? So I'm going to kind of treat you like parents when you guys are coming in and logging in. And so kids can do this from home. So if they're at home, they can look up the school district website and then go to their school, and they'll just click on student resources. As soon as they click on student resources, it's going to stop them, and they will have to log in using their school district login. All of them should know it by now. They almost should know what their school district login is and their password. And so as soon as they log in, then it'll show the student resources page, and then they can click on library. This is my page. And once they're here, it's going to take you to two of my three points that I'm going to show you tonight. The first one being is Destiny Discover. And I'm just going to click. Once you click on that, it'll open this up. I've already logged her in, so we don't have to wait. But when they log in up here, they'll just type in their same school district login. It never changes. That's what they'll use all the time, okay? And this is Cloud Peak's interface that we use that I'm in charge of. So these are books that I've purchased. This is my library system, I guess our library system, the district. And these are books that I've put into our system that they can check out, okay? These are actual books that are sitting on a shelf. So they can go in and look and see if books are available that are on the shelf. But they can also, once they're logged in, they can scroll down and they can see ebooks. Now, ebooks are books that they can read on their device. This is also an app. And I gave everybody a nifty little pamphlet. But this is also an app that you can download on your phone, on a tablet, and it will link up, and it's a lot like Sora, which I'm going to show you too. But they can actually open those ebooks on their tablets the same. And these are books that we have purchased through the district. Okay? And so once they click see all, they will click it right here and they can open it. Now, this will redirect them to a company that we've bought books through. We did a grant last year. It's through Mackin, the company. And I received a bunch of money through them. And so then it links them automatically through this company. They can just open the book and read it. And so they can do this on tablets, like I said, their Chromebooks, anything. It's available to them. And they can just go and it reads it through it. There you go. Okay, so that's our system. And we also have audiobooks, the same thing. So it would take them and we can open it. And that one right up there, when we clicked on it, it said that it was checked out. So someone already has that checked out, which is nice. Okay, so this is our Destiny system. We go over this with them. I work with Julie Snyder in the technology department every year. Third through fifth grade gets this every year. We go through it in depth. They know how to get Destiny. They love it. They go in. They're very excited when they get to see it. I like this because this is my control. This is everything that I get to do. And I input all these books. Again, we don't have the opportunity to possibly read every single book that we're putting into this library system, but we do try to vet most of them. And so that's where this is going. So this is our OPAC system that we use. Do you guys have any questions about our library system? Yes, it is pretty neat. I really like our Destiny system. It's pretty neat. And we have a lot available for them. And so this is Destiny. They can make lists. This is kind of this is a nice system for them to use. They can research different things and make lists of books they want to check out. They can hold books. It's pretty cool. Okay, no questions? Yeah.
Do all the children know how to use this system?
Well, and so...
Have you taught my children how to use it?
Well, if they've gone through third through fifth grade, yes. And we've started to do it more. You know, like middle school and high school, they're just so busy. And it's hard to get into those classrooms. And so at freshman year, I hit every freshman. Like, so I don't hit them, but I try to... I don't do that. I'm not literal. Brent Gross and I work together in the fall, and so I go to all of his classes, and so every freshman goes through Go Wild and Destiny briefly, third through fifth grade again, but I think they forget. But that's a fun age. Like, this is that age where they're like, this is really fun. And then they get to middle school, and it's more, and they still love it, but they're more assigned, and then high school is more assigned again. You know, like, they have to read certain things by that time. It's not as much choice reading. And so I think that it just starts to be more of these teachers have these sets and they get to read them. I'll show you some other things too, though, that we've started to integrate into the classrooms. But yes, if they're third through fifth, yes. And for Meadowlark, there's a lot of picture books on there too. And we can get more. And so that's, if we go through Mackin, you can just add more and more to that system, and it links up with ClassLink, which is their username and password, which is nice. It just shoots it over as soon as they log in. It takes them and opens that book. You saw it. Adeline can just log in that once. and it, whoop, takes her over. And so that's kind of nice. It's easy once they learn their username and password.
Are these on there by age level, or are there, so do we have a lot of high school books on this, or just elementary?
Yes, we do have a lot of high school books, too. So the cost of ebooks and audiobooks is a lot. Like, they're high.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you rent them. Like, I guess not rent them. It's almost like a lease. So it's kind of like a 2-year subscription for this really popular title, which sometimes is better because then it's not popular anymore. And so instead of having to remove this really popular title, you can have that book for a 2-year term and then it goes away. And you can then get something else. But they are pricey. I mean, for a 2-year term, sometimes it's $60. Whereas a book,
for one book,
is $20.
Right.
And I understand, but then it's available really easily for them to access. And it's instantaneous, which is our culture, unfortunately.
Leanne, yeah. I think maybe she might have been asking, and maybe not, maybe I'm assuming. A third, fourth, or fifth grade student have access to high school level books or middle school level books. Is that
what you were?
So
it's leveled. And so I have control over this. So we'll kind of go back to that actually, that policy question that we had the last time about the funds. And so Craig's budget and my budget goes specifically to this system. Whereas Gibb's budget and my budget goes specifically to the high school system.
Okay.
Craig's students can't access Gibb's system.
That's what I want. Yeah.
And Craig's students can't access Lori's system. We can trade books. So if we need a book from Casey about the Spinosaurus and we don't have one at Meadowlark or we don't have one at the high school or Cloud Peak, we can check them out that way. But as far as digital content goes, no. They cannot access any upper-level books that are inappropriate. Yes?
What is their reading level? Is upper high school, college reading level, and their middle school?
To find books that are age-appropriate for middle school that are upper college, that's going to be tough anyway, and I think that that's probably going to be on the teacher that they're working with to make sure and vet that specific book. I would be really careful because then you're entering into this adult content, so you have to make sure that, I mean, they'll have to work with teachers. I have books that would be harder, but we'll work with anything. I mean, if we need to buy something that is available and we can rent something, and I'll show you how we can do that through Sora, and we can get recommendations from anybody. You can ask anybody. I'm really quick to help and want to like get the book out to them. And so if we can rent it through Sora and like push it out immediately, mm-hmm. we'll probably try to do that. Because then at least they have something. But a lot of times the teachers know. They know if those kids are that high, and they know the books that are appropriate. And so I would trust more so the teachers that they have to find that age-appropriate content. That's tricky. It is tricky, though, because then you're entering into adults, and there's usually something, but not. You don't want a sixth grader reading an adult. Yeah. Any other questions about this Destiny system? How am I doing on time? Okay. So, any other questions on Destiny?
So just a comment. Any way that you can get kids to read is awesome. If they don't like a book and they can go to this and read it, that's great. Yeah. So thanks for thinking outside the box.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's a good system. Like, this is, I really like our Destiny system. One problem we've actually had is with Casey. We're still trying to work because they don't have a system that separates it. And so right now, I can't push. I called and complained and asked if we could set, I mean, they're going to make us buy 3 different licenses because I can't push this because they would have access to high school level books because you buy 1 license per school. And so I'm still working on that, and it was very disappointing. I called and I told him that that was unrealistic for small schools, and we had big conversations about that. And so currently we're kind of talking about that. And but there are other options, and so I'm either we're going to target one group of kids that are as high readers out there, you know, maybe like fourth through seventh grade that we know would have, that's a good age group of books that are decent, that high school kids could still read and enjoy, that fourth graders could read seventh, you know, and really vet those books. But it's tricky. That part's annoying, and they're expensive licenses. They're not cheap.
So, Leanne, the license you get for, say, Cloud Peak, how come it can't just transfer to the same age group in KC with Solomon District?
That's just not how the company works.
Didn't work okay.
Yeah, I mean,
makes much sense.
They want money. Yeah. That's their goal. And they do a good job. And to have that, to have the crossover of students, I think is a little tricky because that school is a whole different community versus, does that make sense? Like, so they are K through 12, and Craig's building is only, right, and so that's, yeah, and so that's, it's, I think that that's how they're kind of making it work. I don't know, and I'm, it's money. That's the bottom line. They don't want to do it. So, but that's destiny. But we're currently trying to work that out. We'll figure something out. I'll figure it out some way or another. Okay. Any other questions on this? Okay, this is the best. All right. So we'll go back to this library page. And this goes to Go Wild. So you'll see that right here they can click on Go Wild. I have these quick links, and they can use those when they're in school. But if they're at home, they can't use those quick links because they have to go through Go Wild. And so I'll take you through Go Wild right now. When they're home, they'll have to use a library card and a PIN that's given out through the state. And I put that on that little brochure. And there's a QR code that you can scan. And that's a video of me telling everybody how to get on to Go Wild. And so parents can watch that, and it tells them how to navigate through our website and get on to Go Wild. And it's just me. You don't have to look at me. It's just my computer screen, and it goes through. Okay, so once they're here, this is just a website. It's not the actual databases. So this is just Go Wild, and it's housing all the databases through the state. We have access to this for free. These databases are super expensive normally. Like, subscriptions to these are really expensive, and we get them for free, which is lovely. And so I always promote K through 8, especially for our third through fifth population. And right here you're going to see it's going to bring you to some good choices. I've really found that for BookFlix is a fun, it's not so much research based, it's going to be maybe a little loud. I can't remember.
Click on a category.
Yeah, I kind of turned it off.
Or click on the feature to begin.
And so this one's really good because
adventure.
It's very interactive. And so kids can do this on their own. They can click on it. It's going to give them a book, a fiction book, where they can watch the story. And then after they're done watching the story, it reads it to them. Then they can click on the nonfiction Scholastic, and it's going to talk about snow, and they have to read that part of it. So this will read it to them, they get to like watch it, but then it'll go back, and they can go back and then to read the book, and it's the Scholastic nonfiction portion where they read through Snowy Weather Days. And it highlights different words, it'll help them read it, it can slow it down for
it's
them.
It's snowing. When you step outside, huge white snowflakes are falling everywhere.
And so,
look around.
Again, this is just
click
another
on a category.
Resource for them
or
to
click
have
on the feature to begin.
That's safe. They can go into this at home. What a good way to promote them to be, if they have to do something that they want to be on a tablet or doing something interactive, this is a great way that they're still reading. It's a story that they get to watch, and then they get to go and do this. It also links up with different games that they can
adventure.
Play. So once it's on the snowy day, they can go to Word Match. They can go to Which Comes First. All of these are vetted and safe links that go to different games that also pertain to the story. So it's going to talk about their comprehension, and it's going to go back and have them remember about something about that snowy day story. And so after they read those two, then it's going to connect it. So there is this that helps them. Yes, April.
So I see some second grade parents up there. Your second graders have access to book clubs through our metal art.
Yep. And we came in, so I've done this, and you asked if I came in and did this, and so I've done research unit with all the second grade. So we went in and did research with all of them, and they did dinosaurs, different animals and stuff, and so that's what they've done on here. So this is just one of these databases. I mean, there's a ton. But one that I've started to really like is this Explora. Now, this is more research. And so this is for little kids, too, okay? And so it doesn't look as fun and exciting as one of our other ones. But if I type in Doug, just going to type in Doug, then this gives us access to an entire ebook. And this is a new database that they've kind of updated on here. Upskill kind of updated it. And it's going to take you to this entire ebook. As what a great resource for these kids to be able to use. Pictures. It has this huge table of contents so that if you're actually looking at toy dogs, it'll take you right to it and then break it down so these little kids can just click on it and it's going to take them. We're setting them up for success with research instead of frustration and failure, which research is frustrating if you keep clicking on something and you can't find it, or you get a sentence and it's not the full article. That is miserable. And that's when they switch off and they go to Google, because they think it's easier, but it's not. It's not easier. We have to start to get them doing this instead of Google. And I realize I'm guilty. Who else just clicks Google? I click Google every, I mean, like 5 seconds. I mean, I click it a million times a day. Oh, I'm going to look that up really quick. I just did it with Jim just a minute ago, who was the author of Mrs. Frisbee and the Rock of Doom. And we did that again. But this, for them, we're setting them up for success. We're teaching them how. I recommend all the teachers, look on these sites before you give your list of research topics. Give them a list that you know is available. Because then we're setting them up for success. That you know that the information's there. We're not going to have to be like, oh, I don't know if they have that or not. And so then we know that they're going to find some good information. And so then they can use all of this. And then we start to, as they get older, we'll start to go into citations, where then they have to cite their work. We talked about that with a teacher at MetaLark, like, how, when do we start to do citations? And we're like, let's just focus on, let's just get them there. Like, just tell them they can't steal. Like, let's just start with that. And so just as long as we start to introduce that and then keep it rolling throughout the years. Like, let's just start. And usually it'll cite it for you right up here. You click on it, and it's done. You click out which citation you want, and all you have to do is copy and paste it. It's done. No more doing it on your own. Right? I know. I know. I know. Big deal. We just have to write it all on ourselves, too. Especially since they change it every, like, 2 years. That's nice. So, that's Explora, and I really have started to like it. It's not as much fun as you'll see. Britannica School is pretty, it's fun. This one looks fun. It looks like little kid elementary. They get to see something. If I type in dog, this is very tricky. That's not the search box. I don't know why they do that. That's very tricky. The search box is waiting. And it's tiny. There's dog. And right here. This one is very good for little kids because they get to see, oh, where do they live? What do they eat? And we talk about headings, and it will read it to them.
The dog is one of the most popular animals in the
really
world.
Really great voice.
It was one of the first
really
animals
high quality
to be investigated or trained and used by humans.
Okay, where do they live? And it goes down. If they need more information, as soon as we click on that level two,
It goes into a different middle school level. Then we click on level 3, and it goes even higher. And so then it's like all the more information. You're seeing my scroll bar over here, and we are massive. It still will read it to them and give them that information. It still will cite it for them. We talk about scrolling over those icons. They look different. That other one was a quotation mark. This one's a check mark. So we go over all of that. So this is Go Wild. Do you guys have any questions about this? You guys have access to this too. All of you do. And so that's,
and this is like Go Wild, and you're promoting this at the high school level,
yeah,
or just?
They've all had it freshman year. Every kid.
Forget about it.
I know. And I tell them that they can. I know, and I tell them that they can email me anytime. And some of them do. Some of them email me. And if they do email me, even, because usually I can find something pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And if they email me and they are like, Mrs. Shane, I cannot find it, I'll shoot them the article. I'll just be like, and I'll find it, and then I'll be like, here you go. Here's the article. And then they can click on it and they can gather. I'm not doing it for it. I mean, that, I don't think that's bad for me to help them find an article. Then they can look it up and write down all the information. That's great. Does anybody else? Yeah. Does anybody else have any questions? Okay, Sora. This is kind of the big one. Okay, Sora. Okay. Okay, Sora is, now this is the one. Does anybody have Libby through the public library? Okay, so Sora is the student version of Libby. Libby is the online or the digital reading app through the public library. And so you can download this reading app, it's called Libby. The company that runs it is called Overdrive. That's through the state. And you just download this little reading app through Libby. You have to call the library. They give you a library card number and your PIN. You log in. You have access to tens of thousands of books, ebooks and audiobooks, okay, on your phone, on your tablet. You have a ton, right? Sora is the student version of Libby. It's free. You do not have to have a library card. They use the class link, same thing. Like, so the student's username and password to the school district. And so all they have to do, so I've already logged Adeline in again, and this is her interface that she uses. So this is mine. So this is Johnson County School District, okay? We can connect through the Virtual Library of Wyoming. So why I'm talking about this is because once we connect our school through the Virtual Library of Wyoming, I do not have control over the Virtual Library of Wyoming. Thank goodness. I don't want control over the Virtual Library of Wyoming. But I don't have control over that. And so we have to make sure that parents know that it is up to them to monitor what their children are reading. They need to be aware, if they're going to log into Sora, that they need to watch and make sure. That being said, Sora has an Overdrive, the company, has very strict parameters still set, like Jan was talking about, with that age parameters. And so they go K-5, which I'll be honest with you, is a very odd grouping. So we are not promoting it from the K-2 level, because I think it's very odd to give kindergartners access to audiobooks at the 5th grade level. I don't think they should be listening to Harry Potter. So we're not giving that access to K-2, but for 3rd through 5th grade, that's a good, K-5 is perfect. And with Sora, even if you are, then the next chunk is 6 through 8, even if you're 6 through 8, you can still access all the books that are lower, which is wonderful, because my system, you can't, because it's with Meadowlark money and not Cloud Peak money. And so with this, you can access the lower books. And so it's K-5, 6 through 8, and then 9 through 12, which is young adult. And I had them remove access for young adult. They had a book on there that was available that I wouldn't have purchased. And so I had them take it off. And so that was my call, if parents want to have them get on to Libby, that's their call. And so that's where I come into play. I will take the heat for that. I didn't want access to it, and that's fine by me. That's where I can. I wasn't sure if I could have that call, but they said we could just remove that YA classification, and that's fine. So it just goes through that 6 through 8, but high school students still have access to everything under 6 through 8. So they log in, and they have access to whatever I buy. And so there, I've stepped in and started purchasing more for that high school group, so that they have more books that I would purchase, you know, instead. So then they can have a little bit extra there. So that's kind of Sora. So I'll show you the, so this is all mine. And once they log in, then they can have, those are ebooks, but then if they have a headset, then it's audio. And so they go up here, and you can add, this is the virtual library of Wyoming. And if you scroll down, this is how many books it adds. And at parent-teacher conferences this last week at Cloud Peak, we had parents come into the library and sign the permission slip. And after I explained it to them, every single parent signed. They had no problem with it. Once they saw it and saw what was offered, they were actually, a lot of them were really excited at the option to have this available for their kids. And so it's a good thing. It's free. We don't have to pay for it. Again, it's just something that they can have. It is really cool. And so then they can click on any of this, and you'll see that there's lots of placeholders because there it is popular. And so just like Libby, and so those of you who don't have Libby, I would recommend going and getting Libby because it is worth it. And so once you do that, you'll just place a hold on it, and in a couple weeks, it'll come to you. But otherwise, if you didn't, you would just take this, and you'd click on it, and if you borrow it, so I'll borrow it under Adeline's name, and this is just the ebook. And it opens up. Okay.
How long can you keep the book?
Okay. Oh, 2 weeks, and then it disappears. Oh, no wow. Overdue fees. You can renew it if you catch it in time, if you're on top of it, which most people are not. And so then it just keeps going, and they get to read it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. A lot of times if they have the double, that's what I tell parents too, if they have the double, like so they'll have this ebook, but then they'll have the audiobook too, that's great. So then I told parents, check that ebook out and check the audiobook out, so then they can read it and listen if they're struggling with anything, or if it's a harder book that they want to read that they maybe couldn't do normally. But have them not just listen to it, check out the ebook also. Don't just listen, have them do both. So then they can follow along. But yeah, it's great, free. I mean, unless I buy them, which I can. I can put money from my budgets in here and then buy different books according to each, like, billion. We can also go in with other school districts if we want to. I don't know enough about it yet. I haven't really had a chance to look that, but we can start a consortium with. But then you have all their stuff. And so I'm a kind of a controlling person. I don't know if you knew that. So I don't know if I do well with that. About having someone else be able to buy books too. I don't know. So, but we'll look into it. I think that's all that I have for you. Any questions? Yes, sorry.
So did you say that you can have a book removed from this Wyoming list?
No. Nope. I have no control over the Wyoming Virtual Library. And so, like I told parents that night, they could have added 10 books in the last 5 minutes. But the percentage of books that are questionable versus the percentage of books that aren't is small to none. And that's a parent's job. They can monitor what to monitor what their kids are reading?
No.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on that. if they're signing the permission slip for this SORA, which is, and that's why we have them sign, is because we're covered by having them sign this permission slip. And they know this. And like I said before, I didn't have one parent not sign.
I'm not saying after the permission slip is signed, I'm saying in general, you are the librarian, you are in charge of it.
Not when they're at home on a digital device, I'm not. And especially when I tell them that it's a virtual library of Wyoming and they sign that knowing that I don't have control over it, that is not my, I don't have control over it. With this. And the parents have that choice. We're not making all kids do this.
No, I'm not saying. You know, I'm just, you're on one side, you're saying you are all about control. And I'm saying I don't have control over anything.
Well, I don't, no, I'm saying I don't want to link up my, I'll explain that comment. I'm saying I don't want to link up with another school because then our Johnson County group, the just the books that I've purchased would also be the books that they have purchased, and then I wouldn't have control over our collection with Johnson County. I have control over the Johnson County selection, which is this. But if we link up with a consortium over in Gillette or Sheridan, then it would be us all together, and then I wouldn't have the control over this section. But when we link up with the Virtual Library of Wyoming, that's on the parents to monitor it.
At home.
And something else why SORA is such a big deal right now, too, is because OverDrive offers books that we can rent for classes. And so if a teacher is doing a class set of, I survived, then I, instead of purchasing 10 of those books in paperback, I can rent them for 3 months and push them out to every kid's email, and it'll show up on their shelf for 3 months. And it's 99 cents versus, or $2 versus $5 a book, and then we have to house those books somewhere. And so teachers have been using that a lot in their classroom because then it just shows up on their shelf. We have to kind of get away from this where it's going to be our job to monitor these kids at home when they're reading. Because I can't do that. There's 1,500 kids in this school. I can't follow them home. I also can't be in every building. And we can't watch every single book that they're going to be checking out. We also can't read every single book that we put on the shelf. We don't have that time. Our parents are doing multiple different jobs. I am working in 5 different schools. The reality of this is that there's not time.
At the same time, we're ensuring parents that there is not going to be, and I think we've even had conversations in the past, that we have control over what comes and goes in our libraries, and we have, you know, somebody that, and that's you, somebody that makes sure that we don't have inappropriate material that's going to be seen by our kids. That's our job. I understand that it's parents that they need to be looking at what they're reading, what their kids are reading. But if we have teachers that are assigning books or assigning reading that the kids, that the parents are not aware of, that's our job. And that's stuff that we need to be doing. And so I get what you're saying. But we've used the excuse of, don't worry about it, we've got it covered. We've got people policing this. And now you're saying the opposite.
I never said the opposite.
No.
Yeah, I think so often we A big thing right now is parental control and parental decisions. And so asking parents to be involved and be the parents and make those decisions doesn't seem inappropriate. I mean, Leanne, and she's amazing, but she's not God. I mean, she can't be everywhere, monitoring everything.
Please don't take it as criticism as to what you're, as the job that you're doing. I don't think that you're doing a bad job. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. What I'm saying is that I think that we as a board and we as a school district, that is our job, is to maintain control over what is assigned to our kids, what our kids are supposed to be reading and so on. What our parents are responsible for and what I'm responsible for as a parent is what my kid does outside of school. And so, you know, that's the kind of balance that I see is if we're using this as, well, that's the parent's responsibility, my concern is what the school's responsibility is.
Officer Brenton, you understand that there's two libraries we're talking about, the one she controls and has handled, and a public library? There's two libraries she's discussing. The public library, she's not in charge of.
Then we shouldn't be involved in it.
Fair enough, they don't sign the form, but she's controlling the one.
Dr. Miller has a
comment. So is there any way a student through our computers can actually access that virtual library without parental consent? I mean, you were talking about that a little bit, about they have to sign off before they can get in there.
Yeah.
They can't get in there without that consent.
Right, and we have them sign before they have access. And so if teachers want them to get in, then we're going to have them sign. We're going to try and have them sign all the time before they come. And that's why we had all of them sign at parent-teacher conferences. I mean, I think we're close to almost all of Cloud Peak has signed. And so then, because they've signed that release, they have said that it's okay for them to have access to that public library app. I mean, they have given their permission. I mean, that's their choice.
So what we're doing is, you're correct, there's two different libraries. Through the system, what we're doing here is giving kids access through our system, which we are monitoring, making sure parents are aware of. But the stuff that we do control, there's systems and processes in place. So if a teacher does pick a book and there's a concern, a parent can bring that. There's a process, a procedure, if we identify a book that's something that needs to be addressed. So it's not that we're not supervising, because we are. If there's a parent that has a concern, they can talk with the teacher or the administrator, or we can bring it through a process of, hey, look at this book, which we've done that process before. We've actually kind of updated that policy of what that looks like. So we are monitoring and supervising what that looks like. However, I will agree with Leanne. There's no way. There's books that have been in public libraries, but in school libraries around the nation, some have been there for 30 or 40 years. So as we go through this process and something comes up, we are always open to having that discussion with any parent that wants to talk about what that is. But there is protocol that we kind of follow. I will say that what we do here is age appropriate. Leanne looks over all the books. She goes, nah, I don't think this one's quite where it needs to be. She's probably a lot more, I'm going to just be honest, she has a higher level of expectation, which I appreciate with what most districts do. So she is very concerned about what level or appropriateness it is. But if there's a question a parent has, there is a process. So we can monitor that.
We also have to be very realistic with the cost of materials at this point, too. And for this to be available to students at a free cost, and if parents are allowing it, and they're saying yes, and we are giving it that option, we're not just allowing it. Other districts are just allowing it. I'm having them sign. They're just giving it to them. This access to SORA and to the Wyoming Virtual Library. We're having them sign as our school district. This is not a requirement to have them sign. We're doing that as a school district because we think that it's best
If they choose not to sign it, then they don't have.
They don't have access. Right, and if they choose to, though, it's a good thing. I mean, then they have this access that's free, and at home, which a lot of these kids don't have this type of thing at home. And if they know and learn how to do it, and they don't have any books, anything like that at home, but their parents did buy them a tablet, then they're able to access reading material.
Is it, you said here, right here, it's level content, right?
Yep. So I said it's K-5, 6-8, and we took away YA.
So a fifth grader can't get on to see what a 9th through 12th grader
nope.
looks at? Okay.
They cannot.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So, Leanne, do you have a parent group that somebody's looked at for you? Especially at the high school level? I thought there was.
Currently, no.
No, I thought there were some parents that did that.
They could. I haven't been approached by any parents to ask me if they wanted to do that. They could.
Yeah.
So, I have. My parents try and read them. If anybody else wants to read them, I have some teachers. But yes. I have never been asked by a parent. Yeah.
Well, Leanne, we appreciate you coming.
Yeah.
And we thank you. And if we have more questions, we'll be in contact with you.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you again. That was a good presentation. Good questions.
You're fine. I'll sit back there.
Okay, moving on. Chris, Ms. Gorga, there's more. I appreciate you coming tonight.
Thank you.
Ms. Blumen did. Follow the protocol in order to be put on the agenda, and I appreciate that. So,
okay,
you're on.
So I thank you guys very much for putting me on the agenda for this. I just want to remind you guys that the Wyoming High School Rodeo Association students, they're held to super high academic standards. They have to maintain a code of conduct that will disqualify a contestant for the use of alcohol, tobacco, vandalism, fighting, and abuse of livestock. The students must acquire a total of 4 transcripts. They don't have to get the transcripts, or they don't bother our activities director. They have to initiate it. They have to step forward and get these 4 transcripts, one of them in the fall, one of them in the spring, which the kids should be asking for them shortly, once before state finals, which is the first week or so in June, and then if they're a national qualifier. So they have to do this 4 times. Just like any other Wyoming High School activity, the rodeo kids are committed to their event. They work towards their goal year-round. It's not something that they just stop with. Many of them do not have a formal coach, you know, like Karina's letter had mentioned. It is also a mentor from the Johnson County, mentors from out of state, mentors that are high school national qualifiers, people who go to the NFR. You know, they mentor with all of these people. They work in and practice in all different weather conditions, whether it's in indoor arenas, outdoor arenas, it's all the time. And as reported by the National High School Rodeo Association, High School Rodeo is one of the fastest growing youth organizations with an annual membership of 12,500 students. The kids can also earn intercollegiate scholarships. Their college is completely paid for. Plus, many of them spend their lifetime, I'm talking lifetime, not all of our Wyoming High School Activities Association kids are lifetime play in these sports that are listed or the banners that are hung right now. Plus, many of them involve their families. Once they have their own families, they involve their littles. When I say littles, I'm talking like 2- and 3-year-old kids, all the way through grandpa and grandma. Are still doing these activities. Their commitment to the sport doesn't end with the season. It's year-long and also becomes lifelong. I was made aware this morning, well, this afternoon, that there was a survey that was sent out by the student, the student council. So I don't know anything more about it, just that it was finally sent out. And I had visited with everyone prior to the last board meeting, you know, whether it was Mr. Oski, Mr. Mater, Mr. Ostheimer, and then 2 other board members. So I was kind of set back this morning or this afternoon, I should say, when the survey was sent out, so I don't know the results of it. I was wondering if Mr. Oski or Student Council could...
So we have, it was just sent out, so there's no results or deadlines that I'm aware of, so I have not seen any results.
Okay. When I read through the survey, I don't feel that it was written by a student council member, and I would hope that they did have help with it. But I'm really wondering where do we go from now?
What kind of questions can I ask when we're on the survey?
Do you have those, Mr. Oski, at all? I mean, do you have access to them? I can just share with you what was forwarded.
So when is rodeo season?
It begins the end of August through October, the end of September, actually. The reined cow horse ran through. The reined cow horse ran from the middle of August all the way through December. Cutting runs from August through March.
State finals.
Right, and then it starts up again, you know, in April through the end of May.
And do we hold events here?
We hold one event here, and that is on May 27th, May 28th. It's Memorial Weekend.
Do they practice here?
The kids practice on their own. There isn't a set practice.
Okay.
Do you ever practice out of one set, Michael?
Do you know where the banners are displayed for other sports?
Do I know where banners are displayed for other sports? According to this survey, they are displayed, whether it's at the YMCA, at the gym, the track, the football field.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Okay.
I think they're mostly displayed in the area.
Can we, let's just do one thing. Let's make sure.
Yeah. So football's at football stadium, track,
okay.
That's a track or indoor track, basketball, same thing. My question would just be, I don't have a problem with any extracurricular group having banners, if they so choose to have banners.
Mm-hmm.
And they can fly their banners at their activity.
Okay.
I don't think that we need to start. One, I don't think this is a board decision. I don't think that, unless we're going to make a policy on it, and then I don't want to get down that road. But if we're going to do this, we're opening the door for any group that wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not discrediting the amount of work and hard work and the practice and everything that goes into being a rodeo athlete. If they want to do it, they can do it, and they can display their banners on the field wherever they play, just like any other team.
Okay.
I don't see where there's a disconnect there.
What I'm looking at is I'm looking at all students. There are students that walk into the school, and by gosh, they hate school so bad. They don't want to be there. But why are they there? Why are a lot of kids at school? Oh, it's not for math, English, and science? Come on. So what I'm trying to do with not only the... it started with the rodeo banners. But it's to get all these kids involved. It's to get them to look and go, hey, if that person can do rodeo, or if this person can do hockey, or if this person can figure skate, that's pretty cool to see. Maybe I could get involved with that. Okay? I'm trying to get the kids involved. I'm here for the kids. I'm a 22-year educator. So this isn't my first time, you know, caring about the kids.
Why don't
I want these all kids to be recognized. I have a further vision, but I just wanted to start with the rodeo. We have to ease into things.
I just have just a quick question. Was it, I feel you, I think every kid should be celebrated for sure, but was it ever just addressed at the school level, whether it was your rodeo athlete, whether it was another rodeo athlete, whether it was you as a parent, did you just go to Ryan or go to Give and ask if you could just put the banners up?
I did.
Before anybody ever came to this level?
I went to Mr. Ostheimer, and then I went to Mr. Mater. I telephoned Mr. Oski. I talked to Mr. Bellis, and I visited with you.
Right.
So this wasn't something that I just came to the board with. This is something that was brought to my attention last fall. Maddie was told to go get her picture taken for the banners. Sweet, perfect. That's pretty cool. The kids are going to get their banners hung up, you know, and you know, with the other kids and recognized. And life got busy, and I didn't ask any more about it. Pretty soon Christmas rolled around. I said, when are you going to get your banner, and is it going to be hung up? So I didn't follow through because I got busy as well. Okay, so then I started asking questions in January.
So are there physical rodeo banners, like, ready to be hung?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Where would they go?
They could be put in the commons. They could be put in the gymnasium. They could be put in, let's say, the hallway to the theater.
So I don't want to sound like I'm...
It always sounds good up here until we speak it, and then we're like, oh, shoot. So,
and not to compare, this is where I'm probably going to be. So, are we going to do this with anybody, any kid that has a hobby?
I think.
For that particular hobby, are we going to let them do that? Please don't take that.
I'm not taking calling, offensive. That's okay.
I'm calling rodeo as a hobby.
That's okay.
But it's not a quote-unquote sport that's recognized. And so it's going to be deemed, you know, in the eyes of whoever, it's no different than Tesla or Spanish play. And so are we going to have banners for those kids? And if that's the case, then we just need to put a banner up for every kid in the class. And we don't have room for that. We did it a few years ago down Main Street, and that was fine. And I think I don't have a problem doing that. But this opens the door for if we're going to do it for this group, well then we're going to do it for the next group, and then why not this group, and then people are going to make up their own groups just so they can do this, and I don't think that we need to be involved in that.
Okay, I have a couple of ways to answer your question.
May I ask just a question before you have the survey questions? Can we hear?
Can you?
I've got it right here.
Oh, okay.
So
perfect.
Basically it recognizes different sports. That's the first question, USA Swimming, so there's a list of it says other club sports. As previously stated, senior banners that are paid for by parents are hung in locations where the activity competes. For example, basketball, the gym, swimming in the pool. The question brought to the student council is whether or not BHS should pursue allowing seniors to place individual activity banners in the main gym, regardless of whether or not they compete in the BHS gym, and regardless of whether or not they have competed a WASHA sanctioned activity sponsored by BHS. Do you feel that this is something that we should look into? And that's a yes or no question. Senior banners are currently on display in various locations, gym, stadiums, pools. The Lady Bison and Bisons compete and have BHS seniors wearing the BHS black and gold uniforms. Do you feel that it's important for students in the senior banners to represent BHS by wearing a lady by Lady Bison or Bison uniform, yes or no? Do you feel the club activity non-WASHA that are not offered by students by BHS, not a school activity, example, hockey, softball, rodeo, etc., should have an opportunity to be represented at BHS, yes or no? So those are basically the questions. If you, and then there's an opportunity to add your comments.
Is there a due date?
We're supposed to do those tomorrow during our advisory period.
So they'll be done tomorrow?
I believe so, yeah. That's what we were
instructed. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm good.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair,
I just want to say, Gib, I don't know that anybody ever asked you. It sounds like a few of them do, but you know, I'm never going to disrespect you. If that is your policy to not hang certain things in the school, I'm okay with that. Just you know.
I want to hear Chris's responses to Randy's concerns. I'd like to hear her responses to those. She said I have.
I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're okay. So what I was thinking, so we can keep it like it is with the banners from the different sports and activities that we currently have. We could add the rodeo banners. We could add some other banners for, let's say, hockey, lacrosse, figure skating. Do these activities, do they have parameters? Do they have, like, grades that need to be met? Do they have school discipline? Do they have public conduct? Do they have all of those same parameters, like what the Wyoming High School Activities Association has? We can put that, or you could put that, not we, could put that on for parameters as to what banners to hang. Okay? The other question that you had was, well, let's just get rid of all the banners. Let's put all 70 or 90 graduating high school seniors' banners that would be approximately the same size as your vision statement right there with their picture. And we have Briley's art, because she is not artistic in any way, or she is not athletic in any way, shape, or form, but by gosh, that child is artistic. Let's go ahead and put Sarah's welding on there, because she does some fantastic things with her welding. We have Jimmy over here, who is in basketball and is in football. Let's put him on his banner, and let's put all of those banners up there. And then have a committee that looks at the banners and the design of them, have the students design them. They have an Adobe Photoshop class up at the high school. They could design their banners and get it approved by a committee. And then we could have every single high school student, their banners up there with their senior graduating picture or whatever picture that is appropriate, along with all of their activities, and have them blended into one.
And that's an option that I think you're digging into a big giant hole with, as far as letting 17 and 18 year old kids make their own choices to what's going to be on a banner, as far as what they're going to wear, what's going to be on the t-shirt, what they can't have on the t-shirt. You know, I think that who's going to be on the committee that's going to approve what's appropriate and what's not appropriate? And, you know, then, you know, is there, it's big, it's a big mess that I don't think that really we as a board, I don't think we need to be involved in that. I think it's a school issue, because if we get involved, then we've got to make a policy. And I think if we get involved and make a policy, and then if what happens when the junior high kids, they want banners.
This is just
the juniors want banners. And I get this is just what I'm looking at is we make this decision here, and then this turns into next week the eighth graders, because they're the seniors at the junior high, they want banners. And so we're going to do those banners for them. I don't know what everybody else's decisions are, and I guess we'll get to that. But.
I guess I have a couple things. One is, I think there's that distinction of WASA approved or WASA sanctioned, not approved, and also the option of everyone else. I think it should be everyone else. If you step into rodeo, I think it ought to be anyone that would like to be involved. With the number of clubs and activities that we have, would it be appropriate or agreeable to have a banner per event or per group? One banner for rodeo, one banner for Lego robotics, as you go down, it just in the interest of space, would that be an agreeable option?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
Okay. And then my other question or my concern is, if we were to make a policy at board level, you make a policy for one school, for one issue that's come up and it's going to affect every school, I won't lie, it's not an issue we have in KC. You get 10 kids, you can hang up all the banners in that gym you want. I'm sure New West is kind of small. But same thing, you know, it may not be an issue or a problem that they're experiencing. So I hate to do a board-wide policy, district-wide policy, that then might pigeonhole or hurt other schools, too, with the hope of helping one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but I have reservations about, we all know, the more rules you get into, it gets harder. So,
yeah. Chris, they just talked about senior banners. So it wouldn't affect the schools.
Well, it would. If, you know, I mean, if we, right now, I mean, our school also does WASA sanctioned. So if we wanted to bring in every club and activity for seniors, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is we have the physical space in the room. We're never going to have so many seniors that we can't accommodate that many banners, to be honest.
But I think, my understanding, and I don't know anything about these senior banners, we are not there yet, but you as parents pay for these banners, is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
So you want to include everyone. Well, not every family mm-hmm. financially is going to be able to afford that. That's
you're
my biggest concern.
You're told to pay for it.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern. There's a lot of people that can, mm-hmm. yes, but then you're putting this group in there that says, I can't afford this, and then my kid's left out. And or if you come to these group banners, who's paying for that then? What clubs? There's just a financial part of that that's a little concerning to me. They get money. And
the group banners, they do them already. And the senior banners, I was told my daughter got one and to pay $40 for it. I don't know what happens to those parents that don't, but I've not seen a senior that doesn't have a banner right now. So I don't think that's an issue, but I have to go back on Kristen. Explain to me the pigeonhole you were talking about that puts the other schools in if we would come up with something.
I guess I just thought every school is so different, unique, both in size and needs, that KC, for example, wouldn't have this problem. Even if you said all clubs and activities, just by the number of seniors we have space for them, we have room for them. I didn't want the policy to cause, or the hypothetical policy, to cause problems down the road for other groups that it's a non-issue for, versus BHS where it might be a space issue. That's just not a thing in KC with, say, 10 seniors.
Can I speak for a minute? I am not against banners. I'm not against kids. It's been said that, you know, if you don't go for the banners, you don't care about that group. Well, just because I may have a disagreement with a student didn't mean I didn't care about that kid. We did. If that were the case, we would have 3-hour lunch periods and nobody ever would be tardy. Okay. I think this whole thing is the discussion should be held at the school. We are not pitting kids against kids. If we did, we wouldn't have a valedictorian. We wouldn't compete in basketball. We wouldn't have forensics because they compete against each other. Let our schools and our kids handle a problem. That's all I'll say. Lynette,
come on. Madam Chair, thank you. I have thought about this situation a lot, and when you came to our last session, I listened with purpose. First of all, I want everyone to know that I was elected to the school board to do what's right for kids, and I firmly believe that I myself, in every decision that I make on my own, and I am one vote of nine, in my heart of hearts, I'm making the best decisions for what I think is best for kids. I am a firm believer that education and activities grow children. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that some kids wouldn't go to school if there wasn't an activity that they were involved with. I have zero dispute with that. My issue is, long ago, I took the class called Love and Logic. And it was something that raising kids isn't easy. And there's facets of things that will come in your life with raising kids that you may see coming and you may not see coming. And Love and Logic, as a parent, I learned that we're to guide and direct our children. We're their soul support, they're our soul purpose as our children. I feel that this whole situation that we're in, we at the last meeting, we told you that we would put it on the kids and that we would see what the kids wanted to come up with. They're young adults. They're, as seniors, they are getting ready to go out into the world and be adults, okay? And being an adult doesn't mean that decisions that they are going to make are always going to be easy. And me as an adult, every decision that I make hasn't always been easy. In fact, a lot of decisions that I make are hard. And I wonder, am I doing the right thing? So I'm going to go back to my education through Love and Logic, okay? And I'm just going to, because I have an 8-year-old, I'm going to put it at an 8-year-old level, because this is my world, okay? My daughter has a friend over, and there is one toy between them, or one whatever it is. And they are arguing and fighting, and between the two of them, they can't come to a decision. I feel that through building administration, through our AD, through our superintendent, that this situation has now escalated to us. And I am trying to make the best informed decision on this situation that I possibly can. And I feel, through all of these complications, and I understand that WASA has their own rules, Johnson County School District has their own rules, traveling teams, rodeo, hockey, softball, I don't know what all those activities, I don't know what their parameters are. I do know rodeo because you explained to us what the parameters are, but the rest of them I don't know. Well, we have kids in all activities, and so in my opinion, to support all kids is, I love the idea of the banners, but this has blown up to something that I feel has been completely unnecessary and has pitted our children. And we are the adults, we're the guides, we're the protectors. And I feel like we're not doing that for our kids. And I hate to say this, but I am in favor of no banners in school. I would be in favor of a class picture of every student that wants to be in that class picture, regardless of their activity, regardless of their club, regardless of whatever. I am in favor of a class picture, and that would go for Buffalo High School, KC High School, and New West Alternative School. Let's honor our children that way, and that's just how I feel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the way, and I have multiple banners at home, I never really realized how they got there. I didn't know that we paid for them. You know, I think the basics of my views of the banners were always just recognizing those seniors while you're there at the game. And so, you know, it goes back to, if that's not kind of what we're doing with the banners, you know, then you need to do them for everything. So, you know, I think yearbooks are kind of what has always been something that has organized individual groups for everybody. But to me, the banners were always something to be hung at the activity. So, you know, and they were fairly large, so you could actually see them from the stands, from everywhere. That's the way that I always interpreted that as. You know, and they didn't go anywhere. They were taken down, and they were put back up every week. So I, you know, I don't get the connection between wanting to put them up in the commons or in the gym or anywhere else. You know, when it's not during that activity. That's what kind of what I get.
Do you have anything more that you'd like to say, ask?
The connection, Mr. Brown, is for all kids to see what the other kids are doing. Because they might not know that, like, Maddie wears a sweatshirt and jeans to school every day. They have no, you know, her classmates have no idea what she does.
Well, then unless somebody goes to a basketball
game, there were, right.
They don't know that Susie plays basketball. Or, you know, unless they went to the football game, they didn't know that they play football.
Or cheer.
Yeah.
Or band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I get it. You know, I'm not disparaging the rodeo.
It sounds like there's a bunch of elders, and we're not. We just want to do it the right way.
Madam Chair, one last comment.
You bet.
Thank goodness for the Buffalo Bulletin. And because, like for me, I don't go watch kids swim, and so I don't know who's in the swim deal, but thank God the Bulletin does put that in there. And I don't care if it's choir, band, whatever it is. Thank goodness the Bulletin does put that stuff in there. And so I know Ryan, or Zach isn't here tonight, but I just want to say thank you to the Bulletin for advertising what each group is and who's in it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
We do have it as an action item. Whether we have an action will remain to be seen, but that will be later on in our meeting.
I would like to thank you guys for letting me speak and for letting, you know,
Well, Chris, like I said at the beginning, I thank you for doing it the right way.
And that's...
And doing it the polite way and respect the way you really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you guys having me as well. So see you later then. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Do we have any additions to the agenda? So may I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
Second.
So moved.
We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, the agenda has been set. We will now enter to general reports. Mr. Roski, I will turn. No, let's do the JCSB 1 video right now. Thank you.
Oh,
great reminder. Yes, I love it. All right, principal's report. Mr. Oski, you're up.
All right, so our spotlight tonight is Cloud Peak Elementary, so we're going to start out with them.
All right. So, Dr. Miller, if you get this rolling for me, it'd be awesome. Click right there, it says Jeb and Roy in blue, right there.
Jeb and Roy.
Make it roll.
County School Board meeting, Roy.
Is it still cold there? Cloud Peak Elementary, when we left, it was terrible. You boys are really missing out here.
We are missing out, and it's still cold, Roy.
Well, we're loving it here on the beach. So are the horses. Nice and soft sand on their feet. Sure's a pretty place. Glad we're not back there.
Hey, would you guys be willing to tell them about Tales of the Dusty Riders?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we can do that. We could. That'd be fine.
Thank you.
Yep. Deb, why don't you tell them folks there in that room what it is we do with Tales of the Dusty Riders? Well, pretty simple. We want to make sure the PBIS system, or the Positive Behavior Intervention System, is incorporated in the whole school. All the teachers, the students, all the other staff, as far as parents and cooks and custodials, everybody who's involved, we want them to be involved with knowing and building one another up. That's what we do. That's what we do. We do it through the 8 keys of excellence. We talk about ownership and failure leads to success. We do it by talking about bullying and how we need to be upstanders and stand up for those people who are being bullied by somebody else. We got to talk about how we're bringing community together with the Red Kettle Challenge, and we got Food Pantry Challenge coming up. How we're just doing announcements and videos and everything coming together. And everybody seems to laugh and have fun. We're working on being constructive. So working on the things we're not so good at.
Oh, construction.
Yeah, like lunchroom behavior and playground behavior. And those types of things. So we got all kinds of stuff going.
Hey, we got a segment called Letters to Jeb and Roy. How many letters have we received now?
Man, we got letters to Jeb and Roy. I forgot about that. There's 100 letters have been written to us by students.
100.
Answering our questions about all the things we question in these two crazy brains we got.
Yeah, that's like for every two kids, at least one of them wrote us a letter.
I'm not. That
is saved them all.
That is cool.
It is super cool.
Really, that's about it. Well, we can show them this highlight video.
Oh, yeah.
We got a highlight video. You guys okay with that, folks here in the room? Can we show a highlight video?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Awesome. Okay. Here we go. Tales of the Dusty Rider Highlight.
that video. Brown Sugar, how's your diet?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know in the video you saw Brown Sugar got a something from. Well, here's the dealio. You've been running around on the beach out here eating things that unbeknownst to me, and and the stomach is rumbling right now. Yeah, I know. I don't trust them. He's a little gassy. Hey, here is not like at home anything to not do well with old Brown Sugar.
Hey, you guys got some plans for the future?
Yeah, we got a lot going on. So we did. We do. Well, we had kids write letters in because we want some new segment ideas. We got a guest director coming in. Jacob Betts is going to direct the video with us, so he's pretty excited. Somehow, zombies and cheese and explosions or something. I don't know. He's got something kind of in mind. Sounds cool. And we spoke about it earlier about the food pantry. Well, the goal is that all the grade levels are going to have competition to raise food for the food pantry. It's going to
be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. So challenges amongst the grade levels, and then South Peak doing good for the community. And then some gentleman by the name of Dr. Miller, I think. Is this Dr. Miller? Something like that. He approached us, and he said, Devin Roy, could you do something for the whole district? And, well, we got a little nervous, but we're kind of excited about that, too. We're not sure what he wanted, but we're trying to find him. So, Nick Ferris, Mr. Hinton, if you see him out there, you might put in a good word for us. Appreciate that. Yep, I think that's about it. We're just keeping on, keeping on. That's all we like to do around here. We're going to go ahead and hit the beach and do a little swimming and let the horses play in the sand and eat weird things for Brown Sugar. But if you out there in the audience got any questions, you could sure shoot them to Mr. Hinton and Mr. Ferris. I'm sure they'd be happy to help you out. Yeah, they could answer them. They know it well enough. And as always, this is Roy and Dip. Dale to the Dust and Riders. Peace out.
That's my spotlight. Thank you to
it's a dim spotlight,
Craig. Other folks. So, if there's any other questions, I'd have to have.
If you ever get a chance to see Mr. Ferris's rap of Long Division.
Yes.
We need to post that sometime. So that
we got we have another one this year. Wait for our dojo for geometry. It's coming up.
They're real.
I'm the sensei.
For the Long Division, you go through every step, and I mean, I do not know the steps. Thank you. That was awesome.
How will you guys suffer?
All right, any other questions from the board for their other admin team that's here tonight? All right, so I'll move on to my report. Any questions for me as a superintendent with my report?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Cheryl, I do have a question for you, and it's not an I gotcha question. It's a chance for you, hopefully, to be able to answer the community. So we as a district got put into the high-risk financial category along with the property and casualty. Can you explain that to us?
Absolutely. So I know you as a board of trustees had called the Wyoming Department of Ed in a question about that, so I do have some information here. Trent Carroll called me and said you as a board had concerns with what I had posted. So
Madam Chair,
I'm going to push this way.
I don't know that we called the Wyoming Department of Ed. Or did I miss that?
No.
Well, Trent Carroll from the Wyoming Department of Ed.
I called.
Okay. So, as a board
on behalf of the board?
No,
you represent myself.
So,
as a taxpayer.
But anyway, I can answer that question.
Okay.
So, with that, we're a high financial district. According to our audit findings, which was presented there, there's a couple documents that are kind of going around. So, one of the sections that was, was part of where we are for 3 years. Due to some of our audit findings, we are a high financial district, auditing district. And then the other part that, for insurance reasons, we have a $10 million lawsuit. We have roofs in our districts. All roofs are going out of warranty this year. So that's a liability. We have $20 million in facilities, projects that we have to work on. There's just a lot of liability within the district in maintaining of our buildings. So when I say we're kind of high risk when it comes to insurance is we do have some liabilities that are presented in front of us. Doesn't mean that we cannot physically take on those challenges, but it's me trying to be transparent to the staff and to you as a board of trustees. But the high risk financial audit was what was presented to you as a board of trustees during your audit findings. Okay?
I think I even asked the question to the auditors.
So, Jan, you did ask that question to the auditors the day the audit was presented.
So, Charles, do you have to write a plan or anything to the state as to how to get out of it?
So part of our corrective action plan, part of what our auditors have found, that's what we're working on as a district with our procurement policies, all the training and everything that's coming up with that piece. What we're doing, part of that finding was our, to be transparent, was the bonuses that we're given, what that looks like, how we purchase some equipment with federal funds. So some of those things we are trying to and have been working on to rewrite policy and procedures. Also, I'll let Connie speak to some of those other things that we are doing. But we do have to submit our corrective action plan. My first year here, as a reminder to the board, we had a state-federal audit, which found us to have a lot of issues. So part of that corrective action plan, which is kind of parallel to the other stuff that we're doing, does require us to put a plan together. So.
When you called Dave, did you learn anything from them? I mean, what did you learn?
Well, it's what he told me, Charles, was that you automatically go into an audit if you've received $750,000 worth of federal money, which we have. So he said that automatically sets an audit off, and then that you do have to write a corrective action plan. They'll probably audit you for two additional years. And
yes,
so Kristen, for me, is that is a big deal for me. And so why shouldn't I call as a board member?
I guess I'm confused on if you called individually for you or on behalf of the board.
No, I didn't call on behalf
because
of the board.
Because I made a statement once on behalf of the board and the hammer came down on me.
Yeah, I called on behalf of myself.
So you didn't say you had JCSD 1 board member?
I did say I was.
Okay.
Absolutely, Jim.
I guess I just don't think any of this is news to us. Because of our audit, because of the federal investigation, we didn't think we were in a good place.
Did you know that you were considered a high-risk financial district?
Yeah, and I would hope we would be after a federal investigation. I mean, I think that that's appropriate measures for what we went through, and I'm glad that I'm glad we are high-risk. I think that's an appropriate reaction to the situation.
And part of the problem is when you have your property insurance high risk, Charles, will that increase our rates?
There is a potential of increasing our rates with where we're at. So the insurance company, I think we brought this to you several months ago, the insurance company also came in and did their own kind of walkthrough with buildings. I don't know where John's at, but that was, they did one building, which are going to maybe start doing some multiple pieces. We shared that findings from our facility people with that piece, but and I get it, insurance is going to cover anything that's there, but if there's a liability that we're not working on, we need to start moving towards fixing some of those things. We have quite a few findings in relation to access to buildings with handicap and some of those things that need to be addressed. So there are a lot of things that we as a district need to start addressing, which is a liability to our district with facilities. So again, those insurance pieces, some of those other liabilities are just being honest to some of the lawsuits, the potential of a federal investigation where, you know what, I hope it doesn't go that way, but let's be real. We could be giving back $1.7 million. We could lose access to $750,000 every year. So what we have been trying to do over the last 5 or 6 months, which has consumed a lot of our time, is putting the procedures and protocols in place, trying to remanage our budget. That's why we're adopting a whole new financial system and training as we kind of move forward with that. But I can't even give you the perfect answer right now because we are in midstream. We are
I will say, this is not under my leadership. This is stuff that I came into, and we are trying to fix, and the light might be very slim at the end of the tunnel, but I feel we're headed in the right direction. You as a board of trustees trusted me enough to approve a $1.3 million deficit in revenues, knowing that we have carryover. So that takes us into a, that's a lot of work to try and find that balanced budget without, honestly, implementing a reduction in staff. I don't want to do that at this point in time. I want to be able to say we're going to be able to support our teachers, support this community, and provide the services and programs that we need to. We also know that we're well over budget with activities and some of those other things. We also know that we're going into the first year back, and I think food service has done a great job with that, but this is the first year back that we haven't been reimbursed for food service, and food service is not in our funding model. So balancing what those things are looking like as we move forward. Special ed, we've had a high influx of high needs kids. There's been a cost of that. We've transferred, I mean, close to $400,000 into a reimbursable model that we're going to see a side impact with that in the upcoming years, and there's some special ed law tied to that. But we are trying. I would say the team here and the teachers here are doing what's best for kids, but I'm going to look to you as a board of trustees and say, we're not there yet. The journey's only begun. So I honestly can't even say tonight that I'm 100% sure. You have a procurement policy in front of you. You know, as a board of trustees, that we've had three basically legal teams look at that procurement policy over the last, sorry, Bridget, how long you've been on? So it's been, it feels like forever. But this procurement policy is going to set grounds for this district for the future to come, and we've got to follow that. The trainings that we brought in. So we are, everything that we've done with our administrators, what we're doing to try and get staff evaluations or a growth model in place, there are lots of things that we, I feel, are doing in the right direction. It's just taking time.
So thanks for answering that to the stakeholders.
Anybody
other
else?
Questions?
No. Anybody else?
So I would like to emphasize a celebration in there. If you look, we received formal information that we're accredited. That might not be a big deal to a lot of you, but it is a huge deal to me. Staying accredited as a school district, knowing all the work behind the scenes to be accredited, but it raises a level of anxiety, to be honest, to all the stakeholders and everybody on the video here tonight. We get accredited in the fall of 2023. Everything that we put on the board and what we put in that document, they're coming on site to see if the rubber hits the road. We have some challenges. We have some things that we're working on, but I would like to take little baby step celebrations, and the fact is we did get accredited for this year. But Dr. Miller, honestly, the anxiety's up. I thought we had a year. If I count the months out, we don't have very many months to get that documentation together. So we are moving forward to get ready for accreditation and on-site accreditation in the fall. But celebrate the short victories, and that was a good one. So thank you.
Moving on, director reports. Mr. Oski?
All right. So who's first?
I have somebody.
Mr. Zink.
Any questions on my report?
You were mentioning before that we just found out today about?
Oh, the TKE elevator for Buffalo High School, major maintenance. We got an acceptance from the state for major maintenance to pay for that project for the elevator. There's going to be more costs. I have a feeling it's going to come with it. We're going to have to probably build a room, which I've been in communication with Gib. We're going to look at some options up there to house the equipment. The equipment currently is under the car in the pit. We have to take every weight out of the weight room, put in the car, manually hoist, chain hoist the car up to get underneath it to say, yep, it's dead. The dollar amount is a lot, but it was a $48,000 fix as a Band-Aid for a new drive that they would have to build. And I said, It's unacceptable. We need a new car. We've needed one since the building was built. The hoist way, the counterweight, the car will stay. It'll have all new electronics in it, new life safety, new controllers. The problem of a kid hitting or an adult hitting the button and the magnet falling out puts it out of order. That should all go away. So this will be a much better outcome for it. Right now, we're out of compliance.
And it won't be any bigger, will it?
No.
It can't be.
It can't be. That hoistway is built for that car. When they design the building, they submit a plan of an elevator, and they build the hoistway to that. It's made CMU with a concrete foundation with a thickened slab to hold the weight. It has to work in that car. So... and that's why there's an action item for that proposal for the dollar amount for our policies.
So, John or Mr. Oski, how do the 88 kids, you said at the work session that those have been out of service for a couple months, so how do the 88 kids get from upstairs to downstairs right now?
So, the great news is we haven't had kids. We, very short period of time, we had a couple of kids that couldn't do the stairs. We housed them downstairs. Teachers came down and took care of them that way. So.
Thanks.
Parent-teacher conferences, I was there. Individual was right in front of me. He has walking sticks. You know, I felt like crap being a silly guy. There's nothing I could do. He had made a point to go find the teachers to see if they're available to come to him. This is making accommodations. That's all we can do at this point. We can get people down below the building to get gym access, but getting them up, we just have to be creative with that. You know, bring the staff down, whatever we can do.
So, like for graduation and stuff, we'll probably have to go through
the upper or lower.
Yeah. And once we move forward with this, we sign. I mean, I still have meetings to have with these people where we're going to house the equipment. 24 weeks, roughly, to start the build. They're telling me 24 weeks to have it built.
They will be working in the school for that long, or they?
No, that'll be before the equipment is built and brought to site. And then it could be an additional month beyond that step.
Yeah.
Have we thought about just saving the money and not using the second floor?
We are at 50% capacity. No, we could make it happen.
Anything else?
And just with the elevator, I do have final numbers for the AHU. I told you I was working on contracts for that. You know, the contract with the Davis Bacon and the deducts. That project was about $3,000, a total of $763,430 now. Then with Casey Boilers, with three projects this summer with the elevator, we're looking at $1,272,000 in three projects this summer in facilities, amongst everything else going on. So.
Is that covered through major maintenance?
Yes, that's major maintenance and ESSER, $500,000
okay.
And be ESSER.
Anybody else?
So, just so you know, you just heard that summer project. So, summer school is going to be housed at Craig's building. So, all of summer school, I'm going to say Buffalo summer school, not KC.
For K-5.
Will be K-5.
K-5. Yes.
Unless you want K-12, but right now it's K-5.
Please. Not the middle schoolers.
Anything else, Mr. Zink, you'd like to present to the board?
Nope, we've been moving snow. Now we just need to move water.
Thank you for getting us through the winter.
Hey, Nutrition Services.
Any
questions for Ricky?
Looks good.
Thank you, Ricky.
Technology, Christy. Any questions for Christy?
Madam Chair.
You bet.
Christy, the 200 Chromebooks that you put in place, we're going to go on an action item. We have 75 more. Is that in addition to the 200?
Yes, the 75 were ordered earlier.
Okay.
Well, that'll cover. We need about 300 every year to cover our rotation.
Thank you.
And transportation.
So he is super excited. He would like to present. So,
you have a video too?
No.
You're in the spotlight. So, does anybody have any questions on my report?
You have a lot going on. Thank you.
We do. We have a lot going on, but we are handling it at this point, and that's to be commended for our lack of staff and their virtue and their patience. We really appreciate the flexibility that we're seeing from our directors in our school and our administration, as well as our coaches and our community. But in the end, we're dedicated and entrenched in safe student transportation, and we feel that we're accomplishing at this point. And if anybody knows of anybody that would like to drive a school bus, come see me. We'd be happy to let you know a little bit about our culture and some of the things that we're changing and moving forward with our transportation.
Thank you for getting all the drivers. Thank you for getting all of our kids regionals, both KC, Buffalo, regional.
Yes,
state.
Our team needs to be commended. They've done
a lot of travel.
Wonderful job with that. So everybody's going above and beyond. We really appreciate that.
And thank you to all of your staff for all of the accommodations over the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's been, I know you've had activities and field trips and bus turnarounds, and I am very grateful for you and all of your people out there. It's been a busy.
They're truly thinking outside the box and,
yes,
and doing some things that we haven't done in the past. But moving forward, if we're seeing them, we have a lot of opportunities to collaborate. That was the big word that I used in my report. We're able to use some outside entities, and you know, I may even have some Claremont drivers that might be coming on board to help us because they have some extra hours and some things like that. So we're super excited. We're running KC drivers up in Buffalo. We're running Buffalo drivers in KC just to cover all those needs, and everybody's been super flexible.
Well, you've been baptized by fire. You're still here, and we expect to see you next month.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, curriculum and learning.
Dr. Miller, anything you'd just like to highlight quickly?
No, just besides the two action items later on in the meeting, my board reports.
And these are just the resources. I won't go through it yet. We've already completed the curriculum and voted on
it.
Okay, thank you.
Just the resources.
Thank you.
All right, special services.
Well, you're always good about highlighting something. So
I'm thankful for the professional development that has been happening. I've asked each, as they return from each of the conferences and the classes that they've been taking, that they give a little highlight to get a PowerPoint. I know the next group is putting together a little video for you. But they appreciate it. We all appreciate it because we've all learned from the things that they've learned while they're away. We're getting ready to take that group to LRP, which is my favorite time of the year. And so I'm excited to share that wealth of knowledge as well. And then we did get a letter from the state. We had been asked earlier in the year to make a few little changes to our transition stuff as students become students to adulthood. And so we worked together as a team and addressed those quickly and efficiently, and they wrote us a letter to let them know that they re-looked at all of our stuff and gave us 100% compliance. So we're excited about that.
I thought the video, the PowerPoint on trauma is pretty good. It's kind of sad, but it's good. Thank you.
And I agree. I'm just like Bill. If you have anybody that is interested in being a para in our building, we have a couple of positions open, so send them my way.
Any questions? Moving on.
we're starting to compete among programs to recruit employees, just so everybody knows.
Who has the best snacks?
All right, business report.
Hi, guys. You need to disregard the graphs. I messed up. I needed some Advil at the time I was doing it, but it looks like I was on drugs, but it's not. I've given you, on your stack of stuff, I've given you a sheet that kind of looks like this, and I put the percentages on there, so of the percentage that we spent. So I apologize for that. We also added salaries and benefits to your board reports on the vouchers and warrants list. And then I also laid and printed a copy of the bank balances. So those are new for on the bottom end of it. So we added bank balances. So we'll be giving that to you each month along with the salaries. This time the salaries is July through February. Next month it will just be March.
Any questions? I would like to thank Leslie. If you ever have any questions, you get home tonight or tomorrow and you want to call Leslie because you saw a warrant you didn't understand, please call her. She'll answer your question in any time, and I appreciate it. I had several questions in the last 2 months, and so I thank you for doing that.
So, Connie, can you kind of give an update to everyone here tonight and stakeholders where we are with the transition to our new software?
So we're about to get in heavy, fast, and furious. We've got almost two trainings a day between now and the end of the month. We go live April 1st. We are nervous, but we think that it's going to be a really good transition. We just got back from Brahman, and Leslie and I went to Teton to see the actual software in live and how they use it, and we were excited about what we learned. We also learned that we were doing some things that they're not doing that we feel like we'll keep doing that. It's better than what they're doing. So they still have a lot of paper, and we've pretty much gone paperless on our invoices and our AP side of it. So we're excited. We just asked for grace. We're going to be asking all the administrators tomorrow for grace and to have all the requisitions in by March 31st, because there's probably not going to be any requisitions between the 1st of April and the April 15th that they can do. So we're having training on the 20th. Some of the admin assistants are going to be able to make that. And then once we get that and we feel like we have it a little bit under control, then we'll have some trainings with them. Without Skyward there, we'll just be doing the training. So we're excited about that. So it's going to be an interesting couple of months.
So as a celebration, and just to emphasize, all our departments are doing an amazing job, but I really want to emphasize the business department. Their transition to this new software and still maintaining the district, or as sometimes saying, we're flying the airplane and rebuilding it. We're flying a jet airplane. We are rebuilding it. And with that process, they had how many trainings? I mean, it's a sheet. Numerous trainings. We have found there's over 1,100 accounting codes that we are taking out of the system, that we are cleaning up the system. So in that process, when you say grace, there's we are taking a leap of faith. These ladies have not only learned to cross-train to know each other's positions, but the training and the fact is we're implementing something new just for them, and then we push it out to every building, and then we push it out. After we make mistakes, we'll push it out again. But the reality is we're going to have a system in place that's going to grow over the next couple of years and really be able to come to you as a board of trustees with where and how we spend money so we can really align our budget. So anyway, I'm excited about it, but I don't want to make a promise that it's going to be 100% perfect, because we know anytime you implement something new, there will probably be something. But they are doing their darndest to make sure that everything kicks off April 1st like it should be. So a lot of hours. So thank you to you and your team.
Any other questions for Connie? Thank you, Connie. Rec Board.
Well, we canceled our meeting. We had a snow day.
Okay. Did you go
skiing? No.
BOCES, they've had a special meeting. I'm sorry I had to miss. I was at the scores table at State. But there is some things coming down the pipeline. There will be some changes. They've had some changes at the higher level admin that is coming about, and I hope these changes are good for our getting maybe the bills to us on time instead of putting, I think if you saw on the warrants, there's a bill there for $85,000. That's like 6 months, Connie, at least 6, maybe 7 months that we have not received a invoice from them, and they put it all in one. So hopefully the changes will bring about better bookkeeping for us as well and better payment instead of having, you know, $85,000 for this all at once. So. Bochis.
We have not had a meeting, so nothing to report.
Thank you. We're into leadership governance 2.8, and it's on community relations, and I think it's a good one for this month. As you read through it as a board, you know, we're always looking for better ways to be better communicators and establish better relationships. And I think that's something we can always work towards. And can you help me out a little bit? What do you guys think when you look at that?
I know you and Lynette had mentioned after some trainings one time having folks out in the audience evaluate or grade mm-hmm. us. And I'd like to revisit that.
Okay.
I think that was a neat idea.
Because sometimes people will see something that we don't see.
Exactly.
And we could be doing a better job of, and I agree with that. So we will put that down as one of the things that we really want to work on. I think Mr. Oski, sometimes he is absolutely overwhelmed, but he always makes time, I think, for teachers and our patrons. If you pick in our board, if you pick up the phone, he will either call you back or he will talk to you right then and there. I've never heard him say, I can't get back to you. Maybe it's been different for you guys, but he makes a conservative effort. And again, he's always looking for ways to improve on that. So if you have any ways that you think he can improve on his relationships with our community, please, please. Step up and let
them know. So, Jen, on top of that, so we had our DAC meeting this last week, had a lot of meetings last week, but our district advisory committee that supposed to meet with our patrons and kind of show where we're at as a district. We did it at the library. Those of you who were able to attend, those that couldn't, we created our own little special video, which is not even close to what powerful presentation the district team did that day. And I'm going to say we're going to grow that. We're going to go to the auditorium next year. We're going to invite the entire community, not just the key stakeholders, and we want to present that to the entire community. So I want to say kudos to everybody that presented that day. John is actually, as a facilities guy, maybe in question about being on that, but no. What you've seen this team put together from the first year to this year with a delegation of federal grants and how everybody presented and talked to that, I'm excited to grow that, but we need to expand it, and I'd like to expand it to an entire community, maybe at the auditorium at high school. So.
Madam Chair, Charles, I was going to speak to that meeting. I was there at the DAC meeting. When we got to the board, but since Charles mentioned it, I'll go ahead and I would like to say it was a great presentation. It was immediately shot out the next morning so that anybody could see it. I liked the idea that we have several people, administrators, eyes on lots of different things. Craig and Lori teamed up. Dr. Miller was a team. There was lots of people eyes on different things, because we do represent the public as board members, and we do speak on your behalf, and we do make decisions on your behalf. And so I just want to say thank you for the transparency of that meeting. It was great to see. We had community members from the preschools here in town. We had a county commissioner there. we had representation from lots of areas in town, and I personally would like to see it grow just because we are doing good things. We are moving forward. Some decisions are harder than others, and I feel like we have a great leader that's worked really hard to make us a super responsible district, not only for our children, but fiscally responsible. And I feel that all team members worked together really well, and it was a really wonderful process to see that there's lots of eyes and lots of people that know different things that are going on with funding within our district. That made me feel really comfortable. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Okay, let's move on to the consent agenda. We have a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second it.
Discussion?
Yeah, I think we, I'd like to give a shout out to Lou Ann Walter. She's retiring from the district.
You.
She has been there for a long time. Wonderful lady. And so thank you, Lou Ann.
How many do you know her employment?
20 plus.
Plus.
Yes. Long time.
Has she always been a para? Special ed para?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's not an easy job. It's a tough job. So she will be missed. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Any other? All those in favor of accepting the consent agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So moved. At this time, from the board, anything other business from the board at this time?
Kim,
mm-hmm.
I would, because we talked about the swimmers a little bit, but I want to give kudos to Mr. Miller. I don't know how many of you know him, Mike Miller. When he came to this district, and it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, he started out with 4 swimmers, and that program was all boys swimmers, and that program was all but to getting close, ready to fail. He's built that program up. He now has 17 boys that swim in the high school program. When they went to state, if they would have swam with 4A, they would have probably placed third. Not probably, they would have placed third behind Lander and Laramie. And they only missed Laramie by 1 point. He has 75 kids in the USA swimming program now, which is about all the Y can handle. And so I just, like I say, I want to give kudos to Mr. Miller.
Now, did you say middle school swim program?
I said USA.
USA.
Yeah.
I thought he did middle school. I didn't think he
does have kids that swim in a middle school, and he also invites them to come swim with
so
the high school kids. So he has
Cave,
vertical integration where what he teaches you at the middle school goes all the way to the high school.
Mr. Miller is a phenomenal swim
yes,
coach.
Absolutely.
He is not only he's great old kids and with kids. If you ever go over to the Gillette and look at their state champions, most of those are kids. So, yes. And I'd like to say we just got through our winter season. And the winter season can be brutal. You could not just because of the weather, because it's so dang long. And Mr. Farwell, is his last season. They had a good state tournament. I'm very proud of how those kids did. And all of our coaches, boys basketball, girls basketball, wrestling. I don't want to leave anybody out. Have I left anybody out?
Indoor track.
Indoor track, thank you. Appreciate that. They all had a great season, and we got there safe, we got home safe, and our kids performed very well.
A lot of celebrations.
Yes. So thank you. Anything else from the board? Board eval discussion, Mr. Oski?
Perfect. So Sue said she's willing to come work with you as a board, so I need to date and start working with her to negotiate if that's something that you as a board of trustees would like to do. With that, I'll probably have Heidi or somebody send out some calendar options.
Okay.
That we can look at that, but just want to make sure you as a board are still wanting Sue to come do some work with you with board evaluations. Okay. All right. We will move forward with establishing some dates and working with her schedule and get her down to do some work with you as a board of trustees.
Great.
So with the next April work session, like always, we'll start setting that agenda through you as the chairman of the board, Jan. And then, just as a reminder, our April board meeting will be in KC.
What time does the bus leave there?
5:00.
If you're not going to ride the bus, would you please let Heidi know? The work session, of course, will be on April 5th, beginning at 5:15. The board meeting, which we're looking forward to. Mr. Evans having the middle school band play the national anthem for us. That'll be awesome. We'll be in KC at April 10th, getting the bus from 5:00.
Is Jake playing an instrument too?
No. No, not going to have any more.
Good.
Okay.
All right. So with that, so I sent a calendar invite just as a reminder. The board summer retreat with all four districts has been tentatively set. I do not know the location or the actual time, but as we get closer, I will update that calendar and resend it to you. So I just wanted you to be aware. I did send you the date. And then Kraft Consulting Study, I've directed Gibb to establish a committee at Buffalo High School to start looking at that. We do, or I would like to have at least two board members sit on that committee. So with that discussion here tonight, I would like to see who would like to volunteer to be a part of that committee and go from there. I know some of you have sat on the committee before, kind of on the master schedule, but we do need to start moving forward with that through the direction that I've given Gibb. Anybody interested?
Notice nobody that has experience jumped on that one, so I will and take it on my list.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I would. I'll be on a few girls.
Great. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you.
So you've got their names. Okay. So we need an alternate. Let's talk about. There we go. So there's our alternate. All right.
Anything
thank
else?
You.
Thank you for stepping up to do that. Appreciate it. It's another committee. It's an important committee.
Is this another consideration of changing? So it's not the trimester. I can sit down and talk to you about that. Okay.
Alrighty. May I have a motion to enter into executive session for personnel, student, and legal in accordance to Wyoming Statute 16-4-405.
So moved.
Second, please.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We will come back and we have a whole list of the action items.